Hi, and welcome to the Caribou Projects podcast. Caribou Projects is a contemporary art organisation situated in the heart of Bedminster in Bristol. In this podcast, we aim to explore the area around us and bring to light stories that are surprising, interesting, moving and uniquely rooted in Bristol. In this episode, we pulled together stories that we collected through interviews, through people we met working in local businesses, and through the retro tape recorder that we put in the hidden histories room of our latest exhibition, which allowed visitors to record their own tales from Bristol. The tape gave us some weird and wonderful local nuggets, maybe with the focus more on the weird.
I once went to a yoga session in Bedminster and was really sweaty afterwards, and I was like, I'm not going to do that again.
Hi, my name is Esmeralda. I met my boyfriend in Bedminster and he's a weirdo.
When I was 14, I got a job at the local newsagents. No, sorry, when I was about 16, I would say, I got a job at the local newsagents. I knew it was 16 because at that time, you had to be 16 to sell fags. We sold fags, therefore I had to be 16. I worked there for probably around a year and a half. I found it interesting that when we open up about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, the streets were sort of run by like old men and walking sticks, but then by the time 10, 11 o'clock midday came along, it was sort of ran by little 13 and 14 year old kids on mopeds that scared all the old men and walking sticks away. It was an interesting time, an interesting experience. The manager of the shop had a difficult time as he was a gay man and I think wasn't really accepted into the community and ended up leaving after having a nervous breakdown. This guy was then replaced by a quite charismatic, unusual fella. Let's call him Gary. And Gary, I got to know Gary quite well for reasons I will explain in a moment. Got to know Gary quite well. He was a former adult film. I wouldn't call him a star because I doubt he was very good at it. An adult film performer, and got to know him quite well because at the time we had a few paper boys in the shop who were very very keen on working behind the till, and Gary would get them to work behind the till for free. So that I could just hang out with him in the back room and just he could tell me mad stories about his adult film past, which also involved his adult film performer son, bizarrely. And obviously, being a newsagent, there were adult magazine materials around that he would just flick through and borrow and put back on the shelves. He would also pre-roll illegal spicy cigarettes over breakfast in the morning and bring those in and just have those in the back. And so for a number of weeks I was paid to partake in that and just hear these mad stories from Gary, the former adult film performer, until one day Gary never turned up to work. This was probably about 6 weeks after he started. And yeah, Gary didn't turn up to work. And then we realised all the scratch cards, all the adult material, magazine materials, and all the cigarettes had gone. And as far as I know, that was the last anyone heard of Gary.
When we visited the people who own and work in local businesses around East Street and North Street, we weren't sure whether they'd be interested in talking to us, But what we found were people who were keen to share their experiences, to find out more about what we were up to, and to express their pride in where they live and work.
I've been here since 1998. I did leave the business in 2006 for 4 years away. I lived in Spain and I franchised out the shop to somebody. And he lasted about 14 months. So the shop ended up being empty for about 20 months altogether. So we had to come back from Spain and restart a business in 2010. I've been here since, trying to build the trade back up. It's going okay, you know. Got to keep the prices down.
Yeah.
East Street's not like North Street. North Street, they charge a bit more for their meat out there, and they can get it. But yeah. East Street, we try and buy the best quality, but keep the prices right down, you know, so we want people to come back again and again. You know, we make our own faggots, sausages, burgers. So, you know, we're a really old-fashioned butcher. We sell pig's feet, we sell pig's tails. Yeah. A lot of butchers don't, but we seem to cater for people that are looking for that sort of thing, you know? Well, it's been a butcher's. We had a customer bring a photo in of the shop in 1897. Wow. So it's always been a butcher's, hasn't been anything else. So we're proud of the fact that we're keeping it going. So, because there's not many of us left now, you know, we're gradually dwindling, the private butchers, but, you know, we're doing okay. You know, obviously, I know there's vegetarian about, you know,
yeah.
Which is, that's entirely up to them, you know, if they choose not to eat meat, yeah. You know, it's their choice, yeah. You know, but I enjoy meat, I enjoy fish,
yeah.
I enjoy vegetarian food as well, I love food, so goes with the job, I suppose, you know, we're going to be meat eaters, aren't we, mm-hmm. As butchers,
did you,
nothing against vegetarian.
Are you from around this area as well? Like, do you live
well, I was brought up in Ashton Road, Ashton Gate, for the first couple of years of my life. Then we moved out to Keynsham.
Okay.
So I started my butchery life in Keynsham.
Yeah.
Then bought my first butchers up Gloucester Road, Horfield, when I was 27.
Right, okay.
So I'm now 63, so I'm knocking on. That was a long time in the meat trade. You either like it or you don't, because you don't stay in it that long if you don't enjoy it. You know?
There's a guy who comes in who, like, he does it periodically. He just seems to do it maybe, like, every couple of weeks. He comes in and he sort of... He goes to the clothes and he starts organising them and putting them into, like... It's like his thing. That's what Joe said to me, my manager, and I don't really know why, but he just likes to do it, and we just kind of accepted it. He just comes in and starts organising all the clothes, and it's usually, like, he takes about 20, 30 minutes just doing that.
That's nice.
So it's sort
saves
of like...
Work.
No, because you turns all the hangers back the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because we hold them, we hang them a certain way to stop shoplifting. And but he does it all back to front, so after, you've got to go round and do it all again.
I remember going into some of the charity shops, and my favourite was Age Concern, and it's in the arcade just up on East Street, going up to Bedminster Parade. My favourite one when I was little, I used to run away from my parents, and I'd be in Age Concern, and I'd be really like scared. I'd be like, oh my god, I don't know where my parents are. And the lady there, really lovely Irish lady who used to work there, and I've seen her more recently actually, and she used to call me the little girl that was lost. So I used to get lost in there. Like, a lot of things have changed, but also a lot of things haven't changed here. I think they're doing like they're trying to like redevelop. It's going to be called Green Bristol, Bedminster Green, I think it's called. But I think it still retains a lot of, like, there's lots of good businesses and things going on, even though it seems really run down and it is, like, there's a lot of shops that are closing and stuff, but still kind of good sense of community. And, yeah.
So I'm originally from Manchester, and I moved down to Bristol maybe, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and now I've got a shop here. And a lot of the stuff that I have in the shop is handmade by me and my mum. My mum's been sewing since she was really young, made her own wedding dress and used to make clothes for herself because she couldn't find clothes to fit her. And then she taught me to sew when I was younger, and now that's what we do, make clothes for people to fit them in the shop. Yeah, it's lovely. Everyone on the road's really, really friendly, and has been really, really welcoming, which is good. I feel like I've kind of slotted into a really nice community, and there's also lots of other people who are kind of selling handmade stuff on the street, which, yeah, means it's kind of a hub for that kind of stuff, which is cool. The name of the shop is Trulla, and it comes from an old Nordic word that basically means to enchant someone and turn them into a troll. When I was trying to come up with names for the shop, I have been collecting trolls for like 6 or 7 years, and I thought, oh, I'm never not going to like trolls, so I read a book about the mythology of trolls, and it was just one of the words that stood out to me as something that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think for me, like, it's just toys just make me smile. I wasn't that much into toys when I was younger. It's more as an adult, like, now I'm fascinated by them. Yeah. And yeah, like with trolls, people just pick them up and stroke their hair. Mm. That's what everyone does, and it's like, why is there this weird want to do that? Yeah, and they're just little and they're just silly.
Yeah,
the idea behind the shop is to be playful and like just have fun stuff basically, and handmade stuff, and then have the facilities for other people to make stuff too. That's the long term plan. Yeah, so next door, the steam crane used to be the old magistrate's court. And I went on like a murder mystery kind of tour where they told you about stuff about the area, and apparently, I can't remember whether it was when it was the magistrate's court or before then, they had like a travelling circus that was in the like back courtyard. And what happened was, there was a guy who was looking after the lion who wasn't, let's say, qualified, maybe, and so everyone who was watching the lion was asleep, and everyone started to be like, oh, okay, go on, wake the lion up. Because he didn't know what he was doing, he just got into the cage, and basically the lion attacked him and killed him, and then was like released into Bedminster. So there was a live lion that killed someone back there. And the courtyard's still there, but now it's a beer garden.
A lot of the older people don't talk about the public baths that were here. And somebody brought me one of the towels, the red and white striped ones. They didn't have their own baths. So you go and have a bath. And they brought me one of the original towels in. And somebody nicked it, like they nick everything in either skateboard or pinchers. They do, they just pinch anything. And it all means something to me, this, because I've collected stuff over years, because I was an antiques dealer for like 20 odd years. But I used to collect prints, and I've collected skateboards since the 70s. But people nick anything, and they do. But I had this towel, and I wanted to put it in a frame just to say it. The baths have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still some in there. They renovated them about 5 years ago, I think, in the swimming pool. Beautiful big baths where you can go and have a bath.
Yeah.
And I was going to put the towel in a frame.
That's cool.
Tom, who's got Friendly Records, he's like the best guy I know. He's so nice, family-wise, everything. And he's got the record shop, and he's just taken over the old butcher's. He came in the other day, and he said he was actually working. And what you've got in Bristol now, see, is I'm a coffee fiend, and I'll go to all the coffee shops, Little Vic, Small Street, everything. I try and find out the good stuff. And I look around, I think, everybody's like 30 years younger than me. They're all dressed the same. They've got estuary English. There's no accent there. They're certainly not from Bristol. And it's like I just don't fit in here. But in here, I get everybody in, and I love that.
Yeah.
Like I say, from the bottom to the top, I get all the solicitors in from over the road. Not that that's the top, but you know, I get like the property owners in, and have a natter with them. Then tell me their side, and then I get people who get a free coffee because they've got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, or the food bankers, and I get quite a few of them in.
Yeah.
Which I think the rest of South will think that doesn't actually exist. But yeah, it's just great, a real mix, and that's what Tom said. He said he gets everyone in.
Yeah,
it's not all the turn the trousers up and show the sock brigade, as he calls them. It gets from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
So I like that. Did you know about the photographs that Photographique now have? About 7 years ago, the cinema, it was all boarded up. And then, it was a cinema and then it became the Gala Bingo. And then they closed it down, went out of business. And it was like that for years. And then the squatters went in there. But they put all flyers in the shop saying, "Where friendly artists come and see."
Nice.
So they opened it up and let people go in. One of the guys went in there, who now works for Photographique, went into the basement and there was a safe. And it was two huge photograph albums full of all the people who used to go there forever ago. Wow. And he's got all the photographs and it's like Little and Large on stage and loads of other things. And photographs of the crowd. None of them people are left anymore.
Jara has lived in Bedminster her whole life. She lives on the street she was born on and is fiercely proud of her roots. She had some great insights into how the area has changed and told us about her childhood growing up around North Street in the post-war years. And she has an amazing memory for the old shops on North Street. Do you notice the difference in the kind of people that live around here that used to? Like, have you seen a big change in the people?
Yes, they're not as friendly as they used to be. See, when I was growing up, we all had nothing. The front doors up here were always open. Nobody closed their door, whether it was snowing, raining, whatever. And if you needed any help for whatever reason, you knew you could call somebody and somebody would come. Now I'm not sure you could call anyone. It's very much of, I'm going in and closing my front door. Some will speak, some sort of give you a nod, but not like it used to be, man. It's only when they did the voting wards and they changed it all around.
Hmm.
We used to come under Bedminster, but we're no longer Bedminster. We're kind of Southville. We are not. We are Bedminster. And I say to him, I'm a Bemmy girl born, I'm a Bemmy girl bred. I should die a Bemmy girl. I do not live in Southville. We were never Southville. Southville used to start out round the back. This was always Bemmy. Where do you live? Bedminster. And there was never a lower North Street and an upper North Street either. Ashton is upper North Street. This is, once you hit the Hen and Chicken, you're in lower North Street. Red Trousers decided that.
Ferguson.
Yeah. At the bottom here, which I don't remember, it was a rank of shops. They were bombed during the war. So that was just a tank. We used to call it the tank. It was a bomb building. We used to go down and play in the dirt and build houses out of bricks and take leaves off of weed and pull the flowers off, and that was your dinner. And if it was only two of you playing, one was the mother, one was the father, anybody else join, even if they were older than you, they became the baby because they were the last to join. Eventually they built a breeze block shop there. Used to have a bonfire down there, and the boys used to collect all the rubbish and throw bangers at the girls. Over the other, it's the art shop across the road. It used to be home, there used to be a paint, wallpaper place and paint shop. And I know we had a bonfire, a bonfire one year, and Mrs. Taylor used to live in. Number one, they had a side entrance because apparently that used to be a lane. It had gates, which obviously enclosed the back of the shops, but then when the war effort came in, they took the gates down because they wanted the metal. And of course, it had all been demolished, and she would put her arms on her gate and watch. And I can remember this bonfire blistered all the paint on her gate. And the next thing we knew was a fire engine because they were worried about the wallpaper shop and paint shop sort of got in fire. I've spent all my life playing down the tank. Thinking about it, if you were down there playing, and we used to, like I said, we used to get bricks and build a square, because that's your house, but leave an entrance so you could come in. So one would go off to work over the other side of the tank and one would stay home. And then one would come back from work, so the one that stayed home gave him the dinner, which was the leaves with the flowers on the top. But we were talking about it the other day, and I said, if you used to get, when it was tea time, you'd just get called in, like, tea's ready, so you come out. But nobody ever told you to wash your hands. It was tea time, so you wash your hands. But no. So we've been down in the tank for hours, playing in the gutters out here for hours. If you were hungry, you could go in and you'd get bread and sugar. That's all they had. And if you had that dirty hands, or they come out with your bread and sugar, you went with the dirt on your hands.
Do you know about Princess Caribou?
Yes, I do.
Because I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And do you know about that?
No.
Do you want to tell the story?
I'm Ebron Road,
yeah,
didn't
right.
she?
Yeah, yeah.
She's buried up in Ebron Road.
Hello.
You know where Mainline is? The employment. There's a church on that. She's up there.
Oh.
She made up a language as well.
Yeah, right. She did.
Yeah. It's actually like.
They believed her. She said she was Princess Caribou. The shop next to the Spotted Cow used to be Staddon's. Next door was a butcher shop. Next door to that was a florist. Then there was a barber shop called Stan's Barber Shop. There was a cocoa shop called Morgan. There was a shop on the end of the corner, which was a television repair. Then there was two shops. It was called Holbert's. One was a fruit and veg shop. You could walk through into the next shop, which was the butcher shop. Fish shop on the corner, fish and chip shop, was called Thompson's. The corner where the carpet shop is now used to be Butts, which was a great next store. Next door to that used to be a hairdresser. The next one across used to be Ted Cook's, which was a wet fish shop. Next one on the corner used to be a sweet shop. The opposite corner of Myrtle Street used to be a baker shop. Along a bit further, where Tesco's is now, used to be Cashman's. It was a hardware shop. Wasn't there, David?
What's that?
Over the other side of Argot, the hardware shop.
No, it was a television shop when I got here.
No, the other side.
Oh, Sixsmiths.
No.
Silversmiths.
No, the hardware shop.
No, I don't remember.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Caribou Projects podcast. To find out more about us, please go to caribouprojects.com, follow us on the usual social media channels, and pop in to visit us on Stafford Street in Bedminster. If you'd like to hear more of the podcast, subscribe to our feed and you'll receive each episode as and when.